بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب ما جاء في شيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So we've talked about the hair of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then we talked about how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم combed his hair. And now we're entering the chapter that has come on the gray hairs of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. How many gray hairs did he have? And what caused them? عن قتادة قال. قتادة says, قال قلت لأنس ابن مالك. I said to Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنه, هل خضب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم dye his hair? So this particular tabi'i is asking Anas ibn Malik, the companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم dye his hair? Meaning, you were the servant of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for 10 years of his life in Medina. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever dye his hair, or did he ever ask you to bring him dye? قال لم يبلغ ذلك. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reach the degree where he needed to dye his hair. إنما كان شيبا في صدره. Verily, he had some gray hairs along his temple. ولكن أبو بكر رضي الله عنه خضب بالحناء والكتم. But Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه dyed his hair with henna and katam, which is a type of grass. So the first point in this hadith is that the Prophet had such few gray hairs that the issue of dyeing the hair was never raised. But then look at the answer of Anas. So, first of all, look at the question. He's not asking, can I dye my hair or can I not dye my hair? He's not asking for a farad. Is it halal or haram? He's asking, what's the sunnah? If the Prophet ﷺ did it, then I want to do it. And if the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, then I don't want to do it. Permissibility is a whole different issue. He's asking about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So, what's the response of Anas? That the Prophet ﷺ never reached the state that he would need to dye his hair. لكن أبو بكر رضي الله عنه خطب بالحناء والكتم. But if you want to know something, then know that Abu Bakr actually did dye his hair. So even though we don't know what the Prophet said to them, even the Prophet didn't have the opportunity to choose between dying or not dying, Abu Bakr did, and Abu Bakr would have never left the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no way that Abu Bakr would have left the sunnah. He walked in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so because he did it, therefore, he suffices as a proof because of the fact that he walked in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, then he goes on to say that Abu Bakr did it with hina and katam, and it's most likely a mix between the two. Hina is a red dye, and katam is a black dye, and so most likely it was a mix between these two because the Prophet has prohibited dyeing the hair all black, completely black. So on Anas ibn Malik قال عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال ما أددت في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولحيته إلا أربع عشرة شعرا بيضاء. Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, said that I did not count in the hair of the Prophet ﷺ and in his beard together more than 14 white hairs. This is a beautiful narration because Anas ibn Malik is saying that I independently sat there and counted every single gray hair of the Prophet ﷺ. So this was the beauty of the detail that the Sahaba used to note of the Prophet ﷺ. And he says that I counted 14 of them, and they were 14 between his beard and his head. Now there's other riwayat that have different numbers. Some riwayat say 17, some say 18, some say 20. And this can be for a couple of reasons. First, it could be secondary to the fact that the time of counting could be different. Somebody might have counted earlier when the Prophet had only 14, and somebody might have counted a little bit later when maybe another gray hair appeared. The other reason why the number varies is because the Prophet ﷺ often placed oil on his head. And when you put oil on your hair, then the hairs tend to stick together. So some of the gray hairs could be hidden. And so one day, one Sahaba happens to count the hairs, and he counts 17. Another day, someone else decides to count the hairs, and he's counting 14. And another day, someone else counts the hairs, and he's counting 20. So that's why you have variability. But the point is that they kept counting. That's the beauty of the Sahaba. So next hadith is on Jabir ibn Samurah. I heard Jabir ibn Samurah. وَقَدْ سُئِلَ عَنْ شَيْبِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And verily he was asked about the grayness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَالْ كَانَ إِذَا دَهَنَ رَأْسَهُ لَمْ يُرَى مِنْهُ شَيْبِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he used to oil his hair, you could not see any gray. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَدْهُنْ. And when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not oil his hair, رُؤِيَ مِنْهُ شَيْبِ. You could see شَيْءٌ. You could see some of the hairs. And that's because, again, when you oil the hair, the hairs tend to stick together. And so there's fewer gray hairs are visible. And in fact, in this case, none were visible. And Ibn Umar qal, إِنَّمَا كَانَ شَيْبُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَهْوًا مِنْ إِشْرِينَ شَعَرَةً بَيْضًا. Ibn Umar, رضي الله عنه, the son of Umar and one of the great followers, one of the greatest fuqaha of the Sahaba, says that verily the white hairs in the Prophet ﷺ were not more than 20. They were around 20. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu qal, كَانَ أَبُو بَكَرَ فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكَرَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ شَبَتَ. Abu Bakr said to the Prophet ﷺ, verily you have become gray. قَالْ شَيِّبَتْنِي هُود وَالْوَاقِعَ وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ وَأَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu noticed that the Prophet ﷺ's hair was turning slightly gray. So he said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, all of a sudden you have become gray. So the Prophet ﷺ said, verily I have become gray because of the reading of these surahs. And he listed a few surahs of the Quran. The first is to notice that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was often in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now all of a sudden he's noticing that the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gray. And in another narration, we see that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wiping his hand over his beard. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wiping his hand over his beard, and Abu Bakr and Umar were sitting in the masjid radiallahu anhu ma. So when Abu Bakr saw him, he said to the Prophet ﷺ that, O Rasulullah, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Verily, how quickly you have aged. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ all of a sudden came out and they saw these gray hairs on the Prophet ﷺ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that, then Abu Bakr began to weep. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that it was because of these different surahs. And this was because of how the Prophet ﷺ worried over the Day of Judgment. And remember that the worry of the Prophet ﷺ was not for him. I mean, he had already been guaranteed paradise. But it was the worry for his ummah. There was a certain degree of worry for himself, but the worry was truly for his ummah, for us. And that turned him gray. The vision of what will happen on that day, that would turn his hair gray. The other reason why the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, wept when he saw the Prophet's hair turning slightly gray was because he knew that when somebody's hair turns gray, it means he's that much closer to leaving the world. And Abu Bakr could not live with the thought of the Prophet ﷺ not being in the world with him. And so this was another reason why perhaps he wept. So anyway, in this particular hadith, Abu Bakr says to the Prophet ﷺ, verily you have become gray. The Prophet ﷺ lists a series of surah that he says caused him to become gray. Now, these surah all deal with punishment and deal with accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one particular, in a book called Sharh Sunnah, there is a hadith, or there's a narration. It's not a hadith. It's just a narration. It's just a relation, like almost like a story, that someone saw the Prophet ﷺ in his dream, and he said to the Prophet ﷺ that I have heard the hadith that Surah Hud made you gray. I've heard a hadith in which it said that Surah Hud had made you gray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that yes, and it's actually one ayah in this surah that has really had an effect. And then he quoted the ayah, وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, that stay firm as you have been commanded. Now this is a very, very firm and very difficult thing to do. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being commanded to be firm and regular in what he has been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. Now we all know, but for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a whole different scenario, but for us, it's easy to get yourself to do something once or twice. I mean, you can pray tahajjud one night. You can get in the masjid for a couple of days. But it's regularity that's difficult. You can sit here and say, I'm never going to do that sin again. And for a day you won't do it. But it's being firm on it that's difficult. Being firm on the Sharia. Istiqama ala Sharia. Being firm and regular and consistent upon the Sharia is one of the most difficult things for us to achieve. In fact, if you listen to the sayings of the awliya and the lessons that they teach, one of the central principles of tasawwuf is that al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama. Have you ever heard this before? Al-istiqama fawqa al-karama. Being firm on the Sharia and the Sunnah is superior to doing miracles. So, I mean, this arises in the question when people go and they seek teachers. You know, people will often judge their teacher by, oh, he did this and it was so miraculous, or it was so incredible how he did this and how he did that. But that's not the true miracle of a person. Doing a miracle is not a big deal. The true miracle is that a man stay firm on the Sharia, or that a sister stay firm on the Sharia and stick to their guns. That's why this statement is so key. Al-istiqama fawqa al-karama. And that's why the ulama say that when you're seeking a sheikh in tasawwuf, you go to the sheikh and you look at the istiqama ala sharia. You don't look at, can they make me cry? Or can they do this magic?